Very thankful this morning for the peace of God. I searched, that song says, I searched and I searched the world over. I thought it said dreams, but it said my soul. I searched and I searched the world over to fulfill my soul. But when I came back from searching, I found I was nowhere at all. I'm reminded this morning of a young man that had a good home. He had a loving father. He had food on the table. He had a place to sleep, and yet he was discontent. And he came to his father and he said, Father, give me the portion of my goods. I want my inheritance. I just want to go out. And my soul's not satisfied. And I think I can have a nicer time out there. And the young man went out and he, what in the terms of the world, in the flesh, he may have had a good time for a little while. Had the pleasures of the flesh, probably had a lot of partying going on and things, but came to a place that fun wasn't there anymore. Wasn't just the headache the next morning. Headache didn't go away. Fun was gone. Money was gone, and his friends left him. Young man found himself in a pig pen. You know the story of the prodigal son, the 15th chapter of Luke. He was looking for something to satisfy. He was looking for something to bring a rest in his soul. Do you know this morning, and it's brought out so well in Luke chapter 15, but the things of this world will never bring true peace and satisfaction. You children and young people, I want you to know something. Sin, I'm not going to tell you an untruth. There's a little bit of fun out there, but it doesn't last very long. And the devil tries to make you see the fun side of it, but he doesn't show you the other side of it. There's a lot of heartache, and there's a lot of despair, and there's a lot of loneliness, and it never brings true soul satisfaction. It never brings contentment. I am thankful tonight, this morning, that I can go to bed at night, and yes, and I'm going to address some of these things. I haven't been sleeping real well, and so I'm looking to the Lord to help me. But I want you to know I'm not sleeping because I'm not at peace in my soul. Because I'm thankful I can lay my head on my pillow at night and say, Lord, thank you that I'm ready to go. I'm thankful for that deep, settled peace and quietness in my spirit that I know that all is well between me and God. Do you know this morning that the world is pulling hard on people? Even people that have been raised knowing truth, people that have one time had a good experience with salvation, and I see them being drawn back to the world, and I don't see happiness in them. I want to challenge you this morning. If you're being drawn to the world, I understand the draw. It's real. But look at what it brings. I haven't seen people that have left God be happier. I haven't seen people that are living in sin. I don't see the joy of the Lord in their life. I haven't seen people that walked away from God in the pursuit of money, in the pursuit of position, or in the pursuit of, I just want to be who I am. I haven't seen real joy come in their life. But yet I have found the joy of the Lord comes in a place of deep, settled commitment to God in His way. Renee wrote on the board, the title of the message this morning is, Let the Peace of God Rule. Is it a fair question to ask, is the peace of God ruling in your heart this morning? The prodigal son thought that he would find it better out there. But I am so thankful the scripture says, and when he came to himself. In other words, he was in a condition of delusion. He was in a place of deception to think that, oh, it's going to be better out there. It's not better out there. Sin will never satisfy that deep longing. My heart goes out to people that don't really understand God, and so they know there's something missing in their life. And in pursuit of finding fulfillment, they're going out to some of the what we would call immoral things of this world. They're going out to the drugs and the alcohol and the lust of the flesh. And I don't have any stones to throw this morning. They're looking for something to satisfy that deep longing inside, and they don't know what they're looking for. But I am thankful that I know the answer, and it's found in Jesus Christ this morning. If you're not at peace, Jesus is the answer. And even with the head knowledge, there have been many times I've had to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, the peace of God is not ruling. I need some peace, Lord. I need you to minister to my heart and to my spirit and to my mind. Do you know I know where the source is? You know, if you're lacking peace this morning, you know what peace is? Peace is rest. Peace is, by definition, even in the Greek, it's quietness. That you can just be quiet. I'm so thankful I don't always have to have something turned on because I can't stand myself. You know, with the presence of God, it's like I know that I have needs in my life, but Lord, I'm so thankful that I've been covered by the blood of Jesus. And so when it gets quiet, when you are living as God wants you to live, there is therefore now no what? Condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after what? After the flesh. Now the religious world is saying you can have Jesus and you can still walk after the flesh. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says there's therefore now no condemnation to them that walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. Our lives have been transformed. We have needs and we make mistakes sometimes, but Lord, my heart is to follow you. There's no condemnation. I don't have the guilt of sin. Isn't that wonderful? If you're not at peace in your spirit, one of the first places we need to look is, am I been walking in obedience with God? The prodigal son, when he came back, the father was there to receive him with open arms. And that's how our Lord is with us this morning. In the 14th chapter of John, John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you know that peace is a gift that God has for us? And have you ever gotten a gift and you opened it up and there was something in it? And the gift giver said, keep looking. In other words, there's something else in the box. You know, someone gets the first thing they pull out. Do you know this morning that if you have a measure of peace, but you really still don't have that quiet, calm assurance in your life, keep digging. Don't give up, because Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Jesus has something wonderful to give to us this morning, and it's quietness. It's rest. It's calmness. We live in a world that is so troubled. And I know we all have troubles that we face, and yet there is a peace that supersedes the difficulties of our world. But Christ is the giver of peace this morning. And if we're not at peace, let's turn to the Lord. If we're not at peace, let's turn to Christ. There's a song that says, take the world, but give me Jesus. Take the world. I would rather have this morning, and I don't say this lightly, I would rather have the peace of God in my heart than all of the money and the position and good health and all of the things that the world has to offer. I would much rather have the peace of God, because it's of greater value than what the world. So may I challenge us this morning, when it comes time to make decisions, let's choose the peace of God. Let's choose those things that will promote oneness with Christ. Let's choose those things in our life when it comes to what we do and where we go and how we live and how we act. Let's choose the things that will promote the peace of God, because peace, true peace, comes when we are in unity with God through Jesus Christ. Well, there's a passage of Scripture, and it's our text for this morning. I will say the Lord had given me some other burdens, and yet there's something in the back of my spirit that was just like, I have something else. And this morning the Lord let me know what that something else was. And it went right along with the song. I searched and I searched the world over. I was looking for something, but the only real peace is going to come from God. So over in the book of Colossians in the 3rd chapter in the 15th verse is our text. He said, let the peace of God do what? Rule in your hearts. To the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the peace of God rule. Do you know what it means to rule? It means to be supreme. It means to reign. It means to have dominion, authority. That's what it means to reign. Now, sometimes we can say, well, I have some peace. But you know, the Scripture wants us to have more, the Lord wants us to have more according to Scripture than just some peace. He said, let the peace of God rule. So, is the peace of God have dominion in your life this morning? Does the peace of God, does peace have supremacy and dominion over everything else that you are facing in life? You say, but I don't feel well and I have some sickness. I do too. You say, well, I've got some financial needs. Don't others have financial needs? You said, well, there are some people here that just aren't treating me right. Well, you're not alone there. You say, but I have some really heavy burdens. We do too. And yet, the Scripture says, let the peace of God. That means that we have some responsibility then too. Because Christ is the giver of peace. And yet the Scripture says, in other words, it's you let the peace of God reign. So we have something to do with whether or not the peace of God has dominion and is reigning supreme in our life. And sometimes I will confess I've missed it sometimes. And I come back to the Lord and say, Lord, the peace of God has not been reigning supreme. So, Lord, I want to let your peace supersede all of these other issues of life. But we have to let it. One of the greatest areas that we need to let the peace of God reign in our life or rule in our life is, first of all, living a life of obedience to God. I'm saying what you all, I trust, already know. But if you are not at peace with God, the things of this world are not going to fill the void. Think, well, I'm just not happy. I'm just not at peace. So I want more of the world. You want to know what's going to happen to your level of peace? If you think you don't have it now, you know what's going to happen if you start trying to imbibe in the things of the world? Your level of peace is going to start going down even more. The answer is to draw closer to God. Lord, I don't want to get further away from you. I want to let the peace of God rule. So, Lord, I want to live a life of obedience. Do you know disobedience will disrupt your peace? Has anyone here besides me ever been disobedient to the Lord? There's two of us then, all right. What happens? What happens when you're disobedient or you know you're not, you want to sanctify that? You're not as obedient as you should have been. Or if you just want to say it like it is, disobedient. You say, well, I wasn't as obedient as I should have been. It doesn't bring happiness, does it? We don't have peace when that happens. So if we're going to let the peace of God rule, let's live a life of obedience. And the things sometimes that we think we want and we tend to hold on to so tenaciously sometimes. And the Lord says, I want you to give that to me. Do you realize that when we will surrender to the Lord, that He will give us of something of so much more value than what we gave up? So if you're struggling to obey this morning, I just want you to know when you come to the place to say, Lord, I'm going to let you have this. I'm going to give it to you. God will give you something greater, and that is the peace of God. And you can walk away from that consecration in that place of self-denial, and you could say, thank you, Lord, for the peace of God. Thank you, Lord, for that quiet assurance that all is well in my heart. I don't want to trade that for the things of this world. Another scripture over in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. It says, for to be carnally minded is what?
Death.
It's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's Romans 8, verse 6. To be carnally minded is death. To have a mind after the flesh. If we're going to allow the peace of God to rule, we need to get rid of the things that are hindering the dominion of that peace. All right, disobedience is one of them. But another one is, where are we setting our affections? The scripture says to set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. And people that are going to church, people that have professions of salvation, and yet they're really not at peace. And we say, why? Because their heart, they're setting their heart on the things of the world. We're going to have to choose this morning what we want to reign supreme. We're going to either have to choose God, or we're going to have to choose the things of the world. But to be minded, to have a mind of the world, to let the temporal things of this world dictate. Now, young people, listen here. To allow the things of the world to dictate who you marry, to allow the things of the world to dictate where you live, to allow the things of this world to dictate your job, to allow the things of this world to dictate where you go and how you dress and how you look and how you respond, is death. It's death. And there's a lot of people that are on a very slippery slope because their mind is getting too much after the flesh. But that's the negative side of it. The positive side is, if you're spiritually minded, the result is life and peace. You want to choose? Let's choose life this morning. I choose peace. So we can choose to be disrupted spiritually and want to go out after the world. But I choose life this morning. I want to plug my ears to the call of the world. I want to close my eyes to the temptations of the things of this life. And I choose as the one, was it Pilgrim? Life, life, eternal life. I want life. I want peace this morning. So how is are we spiritually minded? Sometimes I think right even among the church, if we're not careful, we can start getting too worldly minded. Let's be spiritually minded because it's life and peace. I want the peace of God to rule. And why aren't I really at peace? It just seems like I'm not real happy and there's some discontentment and maybe I start letting my affections go out too much to the things around me. Well, another scripture in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by what? By faith. What do we get? Peace with God. Isn't that wonderful? Through what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, brother, this is what you were talking about. We are justified by faith. We are not saved this morning by works. Have you ever felt driven? I just have to be more spiritual. I have to do more and I have to act. Do you know the Lord? We are called to holiness. We are called to do good works, but we are not saved by our good works. If we're saved, fruit will be good works, but good works won't save us. Which means when I lay down at bed at night and I say, oh, I gave this much money in the offering today. Oh, that's wonderful. I'll tell you, that's not what brings the peace of God. You say, well, I really sacrificed from that for this cause over there. And I really gave my time. I went and spent time. And I could have been doing something else, but I went and I visited the sick. And I gave my coat to someone that was cold. And do you know that's not where real peace comes from? And there are people, and if we're not careful, we can become works-oriented. We need to have good works, but our justification and our salvation is not because of our good works. It's because we've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So sometimes there are people, and I know especially sometimes children and young people can struggle with this. I can never be good enough. And they feel like I'm just never good enough, and I'm not quite ever like I should be. And I won't ask for a show of hands of how many of y'all have ever battled with that. But if you have, you are not alone, all right? You're not abnormal. There's nothing weird about that. That's life. But it's when we begin to recognize that, you know what? I am called to be good and to do good. But it's because I've been forgiven of my sins and I'm justified by the grace of Jesus Christ. And so when I go to bed at night, I can say, Lord, thank you that I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I'm not saved by any merits of my own this morning, but I am saved because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for me, and I accepted and received that. And any good that I might do, it is because of the work of Jesus Christ. So there's no self-glory. There's no place for self-righteousness that, oh, I'm so spiritual. It's, Lord, only by the mercy of God. Let the peace of God rule by recognizing that it is our salvation is through faith, and that's where peace comes. And we can rest in that. It's not in struggling for me to earn my salvation, but it's resting in the gift of God. So then that means trust. A lack of trust in Christ can hinder the peace of God too, can't it? If we want it to rule and reign, it's going to be through Jesus Christ. So the scripture says, let. And I said that brings responsibility, right? The peace of God is there. But we have responsibility. So there is a place that we need to bring our thoughts this morning in subjection to the Lord. Has anyone ever begun to lose the peace of God or hasn't been reigning? You can still be saved, okay? Say, I'm saved, but it's just like that quietness and that rest has been greatly disturbed because we start dwelling too much on other things to the point that it starts having dominion over the peace of God in our life. Well, there is a scripture, and I'm sure many of you could quote it in the fourth chapter of Philippians. The fourth chapter of Philippians, in the sixth verse, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, what does it do? It passeth all understanding. Isn't it wonderful? There is a peace. I remember a while back going through a really heavy trial. I had a heavy burden. And I remember I was just in awe. I just remember it's like, this is amazing. Got this horrible burden. Yet I'm at peace. Like, how'd that happen? I'll tell you what, it was God. It was God, and all I could think was, this is what the scripture meant when it passed all understanding, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to have that kind of burden and still be at peace in your spirit. This morning, no matter how difficult, I told Renee this morning, sometimes I'm not there, so Lord, help me. But I want to allow the peace of God to rule. And so the scripture then says it will pass all understanding. And now he gave some instruction, all right? You have this wonderful gift of peace through Jesus Christ. Live in obedience, that makes it rule. Live in faith, that lets it rule. But also our responsibility, this is what he said. Finally, because it said it would keep our hearts and our what? All right, Lord, help us. It'll keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He said, finally, brethren, now he gave some instruction, and this is some instruction to enable us to let the peace of God rule. He said here, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, You say, yes, but whatsoever things are of good report. He said, if there's any virtue or if there be any praise, think on these things. Have you ever allowed your mind to start being too consumed with some of the things of this life and the peace of God wasn't ruling in your heart or your mind like it should have been? So, Lord, help us to bring our minds, bring every thought into captivity. You say, yes, but it's true. It's true, and I'm struggling. It's true, but is it of good report? Is it lovely? And that's where we can allow the peace of God to rule. And we realize, and don't misunderstand, I'm not trying to preach something to you this morning that's above what we can live. We make a choice, though, on what we choose to, on what we choose to dwell on and think about, okay? We have a decision to make. It doesn't mean that we're putting our head in the sand in mind over matter. It's not like some people promote, even in religious Christian circles, as if you never have a negative thought or you never have anything that would cause concern. That's not what he's talking about. But it's the things, I want the peace of God to rule. And so I'm going to choose to focus my mind and meditate and think and dwell on the things that are of good report and the things that are lovely and the things that are not my burdens. He just told us in everything by prayer and supplication. That means our needs. That means our problems. That means our worries, that I'm going to bring those to the Lord, the giver of peace, and I'm going to bring my heartaches to the Lord. It doesn't mean I don't have heartaches. It doesn't mean that there aren't times that tears come, but what am I going to do when they come? I'm going to bring them to the Lord, and I'm going to bring them with thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for saving me. But Lord, I've got a problem here, and I'm distraught, and I need some help, and so I'm going to come to the giver of peace, and when I do that, you're going to find the peace of God rising above even the burdens of life. Sometimes the scripture says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose what?
Mind is stayed
on thee. Lord, help us to fix our minds on the Lord Jesus. Another thing that will hinder the peace of God from ruling is the what ifs. Mm-hmm. But there is a song that says, I don't know about tomorrow. But what do I know? I know who holds my hand. The scripture teaches us not to borrow from the things of tomorrow. You know, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, we can say, but yes, but what if this happens? And, you know, it just doesn't look like it's going to work out. And it just, what if they do this? And there's a possibility that they could, you know what, those possibilities exist. But if we are walking with God this morning, God will be with us even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have to be afraid. When people do wrong and our heart is heavy and our hearts are burdened because of the conditions of our world politically and socially and the economics and all of those things, you turn on the news very long, I'll tell you what, if you're not careful, if you listen too much, I'm not saying don't be informed. I'm not saying be uninformed, but I want you to know there's a time you need to turn some things off. When it starts to take away the peace of God, it means it's time to back off. And that's not for the preacher to say, okay, 5 minutes and then turn it off. I'll do that with my children. It's not my job to do that with you. You know when you need to turn it off. You know when you need to back off of things, when it's disturbing your peace. It's, Lord, okay, I'm going to commit that to you. And it's taken too much mental space. Let the peace of God rule. That's up to us this morning. God has the peace. The things that we cannot change. I think some of the greatest burdens I've carried in life were things that really, at the end of the day, I didn't have the power to change. I have the power to change me by God's grace. But you know what? I don't have the power to change you by God's grace. You know what I mean there? You don't have the power to change me. And so we carry our burdens for lost souls. But there is a place We have to let them stay and give them to the Lord, or else we will lose the peace of God from ruling in our own heart. There's a place with the burdens that we have, we can shed our tears, and we can fast, and we can pray, but there comes a place that we will lose the joy of the Lord if we don't come and say, Lord, I'm going to keep praying, but I'm going to have, this is too big for me. You know, there are times I thought I would die. I would for you all. If there was someone here that wasn't saved and my death would make a difference for you, I'll die right now. But you know what? My death can't save you. Jesus did. And so sometimes with our burdens, and it's hard, but we have to learn when to say, Lord, I'm going to have to give this to you. Because the more I pray, the more burdened I get, the less joy, the less peace I have. So let the peace of God rule. Know when to commit. And it doesn't mean that you just don't have a burden, but it means you have placed it in the hands of one that can take care of the tomorrows and will be faithful. There are some that are another area as we will approach the conclusion of the message, but another place that people many times can, that has dominion rather than the peace of God ruling, are just places of just general discontentment. Just never being satisfied. And you know, that was a condition of the prodigal son's brother. He stayed at home. He didn't go out to the world. He stayed right there. Food was on the table. He still had a bed. He still had a dad that loved him. But inside, he just wasn't content. Until the father told him, he said, you know what? He said, everything that I have is yours. All that I have is thine. You want a fatted calf? We can kill a fatted calf. You don't have to go out to the world and come back and have everybody, oh, they were deep in sin and got saved. And you've been, you know, children can feel that way sometimes. Siblings can feel that way. You know, you have the black sheep of the family, so to speak. You have the wanderer that goes out and then they come back and get saved and everybody's, oh, they got saved. And it seems like all the attention's focused on them and everybody. And then there's the good one that's, you know, I've been good. I've been here all the time. Never do anything wrong. Feel a little left out. It's like, I guess I should have gone out and done that too. And then I'd get some attention. No. Lord, if I've been sitting at your table, but I'm feeling discontent, the answer's not going out there. The answer's coming back to the peace giver. And if the questions, and I know I brought this out, I believe it was last Sunday, foolish and unlearned questions, avoid them. Why? Because they gender strife and they cause discontentment. I want to challenge all of you this morning. I'm not saying it's wrong to ask questions, but if your questions are seeking to draw closer to God, but if the questions are just causing discontentment and you see that you don't have peace when you're focusing on them, you need to lay it down. That's some black and white instruction, all right? According to the Word, lay it down. You say, but I don't understand. I would rather have the peace of God and not understand something than to be discontent and understand everything. But I will also say that as the Scripture says, the wisdom of this world is what? It's foolishness with God. So, but the Lord doesn't want us to live in ignorance. Don't misunderstand. We can live with knowledge, but it will bring us into a place letting the peace of God rule. So that if there is a place of discontentment, may I challenge you young people and children and older ones, don't walk away. Say, well, I'm not real content, and I'm just not. Don't walk away. That's not the answer. The answer is coming to the peace giver. That, Lord, I want your peace to rule in my life. So, Lord, show me the things that have been hindering that peace. So, are we exempt this morning from turmoil of life? What about Jesus in the garden? Jesus, his sweat became as blood. His tears, his sweat. He was crying probably. His sweat, he was in turmoil and anguish. And you know, sometimes we also have our gardens of Gethsemane. But the answer was found when he said, but Father, not my will, but thy will be done. And the angels came and ministered to him that the peace of God could rule. So there's going to be times of tears this morning. Okay? Doesn't mean you've done wrong. There's going to be times that you are in a mental state of turmoil sometimes. But I want to encourage you not to give into that, but bring those things to the Lord and say, Lord, I want the peace of God to rule. I'd be negligent not to mention one other point, and that is the Scripture says to follow peace with whom? All men and holiness. See, a lot of times we focus on the following holiness, right? But do you know what it said before that? It said follow peace with all men. So, do everything that you can in your relationships, okay? Your marriages, with your parents, children, and young people, and parents with your children, in the congregation, with people you work with. Do everything that you can in humility and in love to do those things that will promote peace. Follow that. And that will enable the peace of God to rule. It is really almost, it's impossible to be at peace with God if you're not at peace with your fellow man because of your actions. That doesn't mean you won't have problems, because you will. But when you are doing what you can to promote peaceful things, that gives the peace of God place to rule. So, in conclusion, Matthew 11:28. Can someone tell me what it says? Matthew 11:28. It was an invitation. Come unto me. This was Jesus. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? That word rest, it means quietness. If you're laboring and the peace of God is not ruling, we have an open invitation from the Savior. Yes, it applies to sinners, but it applies to me with my burdens. It applies to me when the things of life begin to press down, that the Lord's saying, you can come to me and I will give you rest. And I want to choose this morning to let the peace of God rule in my heart. May God bless you all.